As the podcast coach for September 5th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Yeah! I like that little delay. It was like, is it coming or not? It is Saturday morning. It is time to get your podcast questions answered live. I am your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me as always, ask your doctor if Jim Collison is right for you. The one and only Jim Collison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings and Saturday morning to you, Dave. It's always good to be. I get pumped when that music comes. I'm not going to lie. I have that. You sent me that audio file. I have. Sometimes I just play it during the middle of the week just to get fired up.
Yeah, it was interesting. Last night, my wife's birthday was this week. And so last night we went out just spending money like it grew on trees, because that's what you do. And we're driving home, and I was like, oh, you know what? It's this close to Ask the Podcast Coach time. So, but here's the cool thing that was really fun. I'm sitting in, you know, there's nothing more fun than going shopping with your wife as she tries on clothes, because it's for me, it's just painful. I'm a guy.
You have your phone with you.
I did have my phone. Yeah. And so Corey Finneran says, hey, Nick Suberling is now doing, he does play-by-play on the local football high school game team. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm sitting there listening to Nick in the middle of Macy's, you know, and he was doing a great job. It was awesome. And because I'm like going, wow, he sounds so much like a play-by-play guy, you know. And I'm listening, and plus he had like a complete blowout game. It was like 21 to nothing. And I'm like, oh, that's always fun to make that interesting. But it was really, really cool to...
Well, you know, his degree is in that, right? He's a broadcast journalism guy.
Yeah. He said on Podcasters Group Therapy, he graduated 12 years ago and never really got a job, in, as far as I know, in radio. So here this one came on, and he nailed it out of the park last week. And the guy that he was working with was like, hey, we're going to have to use your name, you know, start handing you off to other people. So normally we have a call-in number, and... yeah,
no call-in number.
No
right?
call-in. If you want to, if you want,
all blab.
Yeah, all blab all the time. You have a question, just click on the seat is open, and we'll just have one seat today. I think that's
keep it one at a time. I think that's probably the best.
Yeah.
And if we have a bunch, we may ask you to roll through your questions, and just want to get everybody involved.
So there you go. Papa Podcast is coming in, better known as the one and only Gary Leland from GaryLeland.com and numerous other shows. How's it going, buddy?
Good. I had to change that. I was on the show the other day, and I told him that back in 2005, when I would speak about podcasting, I always claimed to be the world's oldest podcaster, until someone showed me up one day who was in there about 65. So they said, oh, Papa Podcast. So I switched it around for a week or two.
I'm not sure who holds the record at this point. I know
it's some old, according to Fred.
Yeah.
Gassanato is some old guy in Canada who's like 95 or something.
Holy cow. Well, there you go.
So Fred is the one who stood up in the middle of the pod camp and said, I'm older than you. So I lost my title that day.
Awesome.
So I wanted to let you know I'm going to miss you, Dave. We're shooting for it, not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, 2 o'clock, to bring back Today in Podcasting.
Yeah.
Everybody's there, Dave. You got to find a way to get...
I just got to quit
work for an hour and get on the show.
I just got to quit my day job.
Just take your lunch at 2 o'clock, dude.
That's one of the downsides of being a teacher, because if it was just me working in a cubicle, I'd be there. But it's not like, hey, everybody, guess what? At 2 o'clock, we're going to go to lunch. And when everybody else is like, well, I'm used to eating at noon. And like, yeah, too bad. I'm a podcaster. We're going to wait an extra 2 hours and that whole nine yards. So,
well, you know how hard it was with everywhere from the West Coast to the East Coast when we used to do that years ago. But Paul Coggins in and Rob Walsh is in, and we're just trying to get you figured out how to get you in.
Yeah.
But we got to do it in the daytime.
Yeah, we'd have to do it either in the evening or, you know, on a Saturday. It's that whole. Okay. So.
Well, I just wanted to let you know we are wanting you in there. So I'm not going to stay here and hog it up. I just wanted to let you know you don't see us in there and go, I can't believe they did that
They didn't ask me, man. It's like the guy,
you and Jim. Y'all take it easy. Good luck on your show.
Bye-bye.
See you, Gary.
I always felt bad when the bass player from Led Zeppelin a couple years back, when the guitar player Jimmy Page and Robert Plant did a Page and Plant album. He's kind of like, hey, remember me? I used to be your bass player. Yeah, it's like, holy cow. All right.
Busy.
We have a question there. It says, why do we still call podcasts podcasts? Because they're called podcasts. I'm sorry.
Wow.
They need to be a movement. Here's my whole thing. Why do we call this? How doggone it is. Why do we call these Kleenex? Yeah. They're facial tissues.
Or aspirin.
Yeah, or aspirin.
Yeah, those are the same. Those are the same. We actually changed the name at Gallup. We changed them to webcasts.
They need,
just because we did have that podcast problem where we would say podcast and people would go, we'd say webcasts and they'd, oh, yeah, okay, I know what those are. It's that nice between webinar and podcasts, that webcast. I don't like the netcast. I didn't like that either. But it is the name, Dave. You're right.
It is. The name. Yeah, it's I get the point. It is confusing, but I think the longer it goes on, people just get it. It's just, that's the whole thing. When you have a name like that, where that is the brand, you've got to just, it takes longer to beat it into people's heads. So here he is. This is cool. I get their description of their name. So he's the host and producer of the Dr. Vibe Show. Info for Black men and those who love them. G Plus Hangout host and contributor at Good Men Project 2012. He's also the Bic Weblog Award winner. It's the one and only the Dr. Vibe Show. So coming in here. So there we go. How's it going?
And that's their Twitter.
At Dr. Vibe Show is their Twitter.
Kind of matters.
And so,
well, we'll see if his camera works. This has been a problem across Blab all week, is that folks, what we're having here, where they try to join a Blab, and then because the camera seems to be sticking for some reason.
Hmm.
So the Blab folks have been saying, make sure your camera settings are right and you refresh your browser before you jump in. So
right.
Dr. Vibe, you might have to jump out and jump back in to get it, to refresh your browser to get it done. Especially if you're doing a lot of blabbing. That seems to be the kind of the key on this. If you've been doing a bunch, the deal is with Chrome too. So it seems like because Google is releasing updates to Chrome almost daily when they do it. If you haven't, so if you left your browser open and you're trying to connect to Blab and they've done a refresh, it seems to be having a problem between Blab and the camera. So, Dr. Vibe, oh, here we go.
There is. We had a question about, let me go.
Hey.
How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you, Dave?
Not too bad.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good, good. Good to see you.
Right back at you. I'd just like to say thank you for both you for what you do for the podcast and community. And it's a really appreciative. And Dave, I've been a follower for a long, long time. And I appreciate it big time, all you do for the community. So I just wanted to chime in and say, hey, thanks very much. And hope you're enjoying Blab. And I agree, Jim. If you blab a lot, this notification saying turn on your camera happens quite a lot. But I know that they're working on it because I was on a Blab during the week with the guy who's in charge of IT, and he knows it's an issue.
Good. Cool.
Good. Well, thanks for the kind words. It's fun to be out here on Saturday mornings. And
yeah. Well, Dave, you know, your previous guest mentioned about Canada, and I'm based in Toronto. So, yeah, it's just sending some Canadian love to the Blab world. And, podcasting is great, and I've done over 1,000 of them in 9 years.
Beautiful. What's your question this morning?
No. What do you feel for both of you? What do you feel the effect of Blab is going to have on the podcasting community?
Jim, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'll start. I've been on Blab all week. I think it's going to have a gigantic impact on it for this kind of format, right? So, for what we're doing, or we're taking calls, or we want questions, I think it's going to be. I mean, it's going to. There'll be a popularity, bubble, and then it'll get back down, then it'll come back up. And these guys are ready for it. The good news is, I think with Blab, is they were ready for the tech problems. So they didn't just throw this product out there and then hope people would figure it out. They have been aggressive about making sure people are ready to be helped when you need help. So
it's true.
Yeah, no, that's been a big deal. And so I think this will help. Excuse me. I think this will help in the adoption and just getting podcasting out to a wider audience. So from our standpoint, if we're not taking advantages as podcasters of using that tell a little bird link that's over here, from the listeners, right? They could, because that's how we're going to reach more and more and more of an audience. So I think it'll have a big effect on it. And blab will be one of those words like we a couple months ago with clamor, where we were talking about it all the time. And so I'm going to clamor this, I'm going to clamor that. I think the blab will enter into the podcaster's vernacular of I'm going to blab this, or we should start a blab, or we're going to do the blab thing. So, Dave, what about you?
Yeah, to me, if I hear another person say I can't seem to interact with my audience, I'm going to go, have you heard of blab? Because it's just so insanely easy. And I'm with Jim. I've yet to have to do this, but I've heard how if you go, I think it's at help. Basically people from blab just fall out of the sky to, you know, come help you. And to me, that's awesome because it's one thing to have a great product, but to me, the definition of a great product is when things go bad. How do you recover? Because that's where you go from building a customer base to building a loyal customer base. Because to me, when things go bad and you handle it, you own that it was your fault, and you say, and here's why it's not going to happen again, I'm in for life. That's I think it's just going to be great. And I think as they go forward, you know, I was thinking this morning, the one thing we're kind of missing is volume controls. You know, so that would be great. But right now, they're just trying to get it stable. They're just building the cupcake. They're going to put the icing on once they get this done. But I haven't, I wasn't on this much this week. I was on a lot last week, but this week I just didn't have time. And, you know, I've started to hear people say it occasionally gets a little glitchy. I know on Podcasters Group Therapy, it just locked up in the middle of their show. And somebody said at help, and they were there and refreshed, and everybody kept on going. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great addition.
What do you think?
I think it's, I think for podcasters especially, the ability to record it and they give you a video file and an MP3 file.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely huge in regards to that.
And an MP3 at 320. Yeah. It's like, okay.
What?
Yeah. So
it's like podcasters built this thing, to be honest with you. It was like, how could we come up with a platform where we could do better with podcasting?
Right.
And it's like they built it from that perspective. So it's certainly one of the things I'm cautious about, though, on Blab. One of the negative things I would say is I listened to, not for very long, but I listened to a bunch of conversations that were pretty meaningless.
Yes.
And it we have this saying here, just because it's real doesn't mean it's real interesting.
Right.
And so I think the best ones I've heard have been run by podcasters who are used to running a show. And so they run it in a way, keeps the flow going, keeps the content going. It's just not like, hey, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? Well, I'm brushing my hair. Well, we don't really care.
I think one of the keys, and we've been around for a bit, respectfully, even though I don't have any hair left, that preparation is always a key, and have something meaningful to say. Because if you don't, people aren't going to come back. And I agree with you, Jim. I've seen some, like, especially over the last week or so, I've seen conversation going, why?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to, and again, everyone has their own taste and following, but I'm going, the meaningful people who have stuff to offer will last, just like in podcasting.
Right.
Yeah,
they will last, you know. Yeah, so I totally agree.
Totally agree with you. This is hype cycle, and so we're gonna have some really bad content that come out, and those bad ones will drift away. They'll just stop because nobody will watch them, or you know, one of those kinds of things. And then the good stuff will emerge. It will be interesting to see. You know, we always have these pioneers that hit it big with new platforms, and so it'll be interesting to see who the big leaders are in Blab to get it rolling, and that'll push this thing forward. And so, My advice is, if you're going to do a blab, I mean, it doesn't have to be professionally produced and all that other stuff, but I mean, have something to say and say it well. And
that's it.
It's overrun by marketers at this point.
Yes.
Which is a little, you know, it's kind of the internet marketers jumped on this thing pretty quick, and you can only do so much internet marketing. I listened to Corey Finneran's The Cubs, the Ivy Envy one. That's the very first time, by the way, I would ever have listened to a Cubs podcast, because it was on Blab and I know Corey. And so I watched it. Afterwards, he invited me in, and just he and I had a conversation about Blab. And you can easily change the title. I guess it's up here.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's one of the features.
Flash topic, change the title, boom. And so that is nice. If you're doing one of these things and the conversation changes, just change the topic, and it'll change up top. So, anyways,
awesome. That's what I thought. Well, Dr. Vibe, thank you so much for coming in, buddy.
Hey, thanks, guys, and see you soon, and have a great weekend.
Yep. You bet. Thanks for checking in.
We got a couple questions from the chat that I wanted to put here. At Tyler J. Anderson says, starting a second show, best practices for hosting. Do I get a new Libsyn account? Other options. So if you're going to use Libsyn, I know some people want to take one account and use it for multiple shows. Well, Libsyn only, if you're using the Libsyn feed, you only get one feed per show. So some people will then take their Libsyn bucket and use PowerPress and let PowerPress make the feeds. That's fine, except your stats are going to get all wonky because you'll have one show that's been out for, let's say, 6 months and the second one. So you're just going to have a little more, a little extra work with stats in Libsyn. Or when you log into Libsyn, you can add a second show and then you'll have separate stats. Now that's going to be another somewhere between $7 and $20 a month probably. And that's where some people go, and I'm like, really? $7, $15, $20? Come on now. But yeah, I realize $20 is $20. That's $5 a week. But I know, Jim, you pointed out that that's really one of the big advantages of Spreaker is you can have multiple shows under one hosting account.
Yep.
Obviously, if you're using the PowerPress plugin, you can host anywhere and make as many feeds as you want. It's just a matter of stats. So I don't know that there is a diehard. I mean, for me, when I log into my Libsyn account, I have like four or five shows there. And yeah, do I pay? Now, some of those I pay $7 a month because I could care less and I don't do them very often. And then the ones that I really do on a regular basis and I want all the big shot smarty pants kind of stats, you know, I do that.
We should say, Dave, on Spreaker, that's not the cheapest option either.
No, they're it's not. Man.
That's that 1,500 hours. Oh, actually, they changed their plans.
Did
okay,
they?
So yeah, they did. So the on-air talent, they have a $5 plan now, 110 hours. That's if you're kind of testing it out. 510 hours for $20 a month. Now, 510 hours is some hours,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you could get quite a few podcasts in there for 500. That would get you quite a bit at the $20. The $50 Anchorman, that's the 1,510 hours. Is $50 a month. So that for most, if you were going to do heavy duty podcasting, the $50 plan, and you could get, like you said, you could have one plan and have multiple shows. Each one of those shows have its own unique RSS feed from Spreaker. And we know the guys out there now, right? You know, and so that's one of those kinds of things. I know they're starting to do it right with Rob Greenlee out there on Spreaker. So some good things there. That I think that replaces or this, they have now have a station plan. It's not. It's pricey, $120 a month, but it's unlimited.
Yeah.
So if you're going to blow this out,
like a network.
Like a network, you could do that on Spreaker. So, but most people are going to fall in that podcast, that broadcaster or anchor man, 20 or 50, if you're going to do it. We got in on the iHeartRadio deal way back when. I think I got like 5,000.
Yeah, it's
hours
insane.
In that deal, and I'm still at 4%, and I put 3 podcasts a week up there.
Yeah.
So.
And then, of course, I think we answer this one every week, but it's good to answer because a lot of people are still hearing bad information. How important is it for a new podcast to hit new and noteworthy? And yes, I did just throw open my mouth just a little bit. Does hitting new and noteworthy, is it useful in terms of getting tons of new subscribers? Quick answer, no. I had an understanding that only new shows could hit the category and usually stay there for 8 weeks. Yes, you can only be new for 8 weeks. You can be noteworthy anytime you want. But someone mentioned the other day, it's a big myth. It is. It's a huge myth. Apparently, now, it might not have been a huge myth in the past, but now you can, like, have a heartbeat and get new and noteworthy. Even old shows can hit the category. Yeah, every time, especially TV shows, when they go on hiatus and there's no new episodes, their downloads go down. There's not really much to talk about. When, you know, the new episodes come out, they get a ton of downloads, they get a ton of activity, and their audience is re-engaged, and what do you know? They're back in new and noteworthy. Not as new, but as noteworthy. That is the big thing. Now, my favorite quote, Rob Walch, VP of Podcast Relations, had a new podcast called the KC Startup, and I believe, I need to go back and re-listen to this quote. I think he said he was on the front page of iTunes and got 300, not 1,000, 300 downloads. Now, again, that's a lot of downloads. That's 15 rooms if you're doing 20 people in a room. But, right, I think that's the math on that. And it's a lot. But it's not the 10,000 downloads that people think. If I just get a new noteworthy, I'll get enough downloads to get sponsors. And then my life, I can quit my day job and I'll make $100,000 a year. So it's...
It's so busy now. That's the problem. Because everybody's gaming it to get in it. There's right. So many people in it. And Apple opened it up to like 4,000 in the list or whatever. And so, I mean, you can just in iTunes, you can scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll through new and noteworthy. So I just think, I mean, I think it's a good aspiration to shoot for. I mean, yeah. I think it's because if you're looking for listeners and you want a measurement of how well you're doing, if you hit new and noteworthy, that's a good indication. Is it the be all end all? Once you're done with it, move on. I mean, there was somebody in chat had said, you know, they've gone local with their podcast and have gotten way more listeners than they got new and noteworthy. I saw the same bump. I got hundreds when I had a feed. I created a brand new feed of a podcast that already existed. It hit new and noteworthy. We went from hundreds to thousands and then back down to hundreds. And it didn't really stick. It was nice that I got the opportunity to do that. And if you're going to do that, you better be ready. You have some good content because you're going to get one shot at these people to come listen to your podcast and then they're gone. It's like anything else. It's like a direct mailing. It's like advertising on Facebook. It's like sending out an advertising tweet. You get one shot at it. And so if you're going to do it, make sure you're ready to do it. Just, I think it's just one of those things. We get tired of talking about it because people obsess about it. And well, it's just kind of like, I get in and get out and let's move on.
I believe, I'll have to double check because I have the book, but somebody said it's in John Lee Dumas's book about podcast launch. That is where this is coming from. And if so, I need to send an email to John and go, can you please fix this? Because I'm tired of answering this question.
Shoot, right now, if you want to get bumped in numbers, jump on Blab.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never had so many Twitter followers since we started doing Blab last week. I mean, for me, my Twitter has just blown out because we've been doing is I've been jumping into Blabs as appropriate, just in a lot of cases waiting to get invited in. I'll jump in a Blab and somebody say, hey, Jim, why don't you join us? And I'll jump in. And man, if it's an engaging conversation, you just get followed. I mean, it's happening right now on this show. I bet I pick up 25 new Twitter followers. And by the way, those Twitter followers are in my niche. Right?
Nice.
It's direct. It's awesome. So if you really want to gain listeners, do interesting blabs right now.
Interesting is the key. Because I know we've talked about this. And it is. A lot of people are just firing up just to kick the tires on it.
Yeah.
But
test blab. I can't tell you how many test blabs I saw out there this week.
Which is great. But when you come back the next time, you know, you got to bring some content.
No, you do.
I heard one. I wanted to tape it. It was just such. I always kind of joke about three guys, one brain. But it was just, you know, what do you do? I don't know. What are you up to, man? Well, I'm watching. And it's just like, wow. They're just no clue. Another question here from the social DJ. If you cancel your Libsyn account, what happens over in iTunes and other places your show is at? Well, depends on iTunes. Let's say iTunes is looking at your Libsyn feed. Well, I think they give you a month of like, you know, what was that word? A grace period. Like you could say cancel it there, but after that, when your episodes are gone, so is your RSS feed. Now, if I was using PowerPress with my Libsyn, and yes, you can do that. I was using Libsyn for my media hosting, but I'm using PowerPress for my feeds. I think once the feeds are gone, or once the episodes are gone, then your feed will not look like a podcast because it'll just have a bunch of dead links. And so you would have to go in and repopulate those with whatever you moved to. But yeah, I know it takes about a month because I killed the Jillian Michaels podcast that I used to do. I still do it, but it was like, you know, I was laughing because I did a new episode because she's coming out with a new TV show. But it's just one of those, I will do it whenever I feel like it, if there's something to say, but it's, you know, I make $8 every now and then if I do that show and it, it's
good to focus too. You've got a lot. I mean, you've tried a lot of different things and it's good eventually to bring a few back in. As podcasters, we always get that. We create one and it becomes a success in our eyes. And we're like, well, if one's good, two is even better.
Yeah.
And then three, and then you become Jason Bryant. So you know, you want to be careful how many. Now, Jason, I just talked with Jason on Blab last weekend, I think about, I think he has 8 or 12 or a bunch, right? He's making money off of all of them, though. That's his business. And so it makes sense for him to have it. Dave, in your case, you probably got 6, 7, 8 on the kind of that are off on again.
Yeah, off on. Yeah.
And you got to evaluate those and be like, should I be?
Yeah. And that's one of those where I get the results of that, which is not a very engaged audience.
Minimal.
And you know what? As long as my expectations are, I don't expect the audience to be super engaged. I'm doing it because I feel like it. And, you know, the ones that I am trying to do more as a business, like the School of Podcasting and Ask the Podcast Coach, you know, I handle these with to make sure I'm always here, always looking for content, always, you know, refining what we're doing and make sure that when I show up, I try to bring in something. And, you know, those are the ones that I really pay attention to. And, speaking of questions, we do have an open seat. If you got a question, feel free. We're not going to ask people to come in. We're just, it's open. The door is open. And,
spent a bunch of time with Mike Dell this week, actually on Blab. I talked to him a couple times and watched him on a couple shows as well. And he's been taking advantage of being, you know, being on Blab. I took Friday off. And so I was working from home for the most part, and just turned Blab on, and I would find an interesting, I'd look through the thing, find it, click on it, just leave it on in the background. And, it's kind of background noise like TV. And pretty interesting. And then you get sucked into the conversation, and pretty soon, an hour later, you're like, oh, I'll never get that hour back. You know, but it's very engaging. I've heard you say the word addicting. It is a very engaging platform for folks, for sure. Hey, I had Charlie Moss ask me out there about MediaFire. We've talked about that before.
Oh, I have a great tip on that as well. So.
Okay, cool. Let me roll through this and you can throw a tip on here at the end. Charlie had asked me if, is MediaFire a good option for hosting? And you know, I think so. Yes. From a media hosting standpoint, it's $50 a year at this point. You get a terabyte of storage and 10 terabytes of bandwidth every single month. For most podcasters, you're not going to use all that bandwidth. They have like rollover minutes for bandwidth. And so if you don't use all 10 terabytes that month, they'll roll into the next month and roll into the next month. And I think I saved up like 125 terabytes of bandwidth, nice. Which I'll never use at this point on that. But it's nice of them to do that. It works very, they give you a direct link. It's not a super clean link. So it'll be like mediafire.com/ and then like 12 random numbers and then your show. So you don't get this really nice branding inside the link. Although I don't think people look at it that often. Their service, they are storage and they're slow. So the downloads are not the fastest. I have not had one single person, and I get, I use it for all my video feeds. So my audio feeds come off of one. I have my own host provider that does that for me. So over at Maple Grove Partners, but all my audio comes off Maple Grove Partners, and then all my video feeds come off of MediaFire. And I've never had anybody complain that they can't get the 200 or 400 gig files that they need for the video to come off of that to load. Most people now are downloading those at night when they're not, you know, when they're sleeping to their podcatcher. Daniel had used them for some cold storage, and there's some limitations. It looks great as a backup place when you join them, and you're like, oh, I could put all my files there. There have been some challenges in getting massive amounts of files to them for storage from that standpoint. But I think if you're looking for good hosting in that way, $50, and you want to keep it fairly inexpensive, $50 a year is pretty reasonable. Dave, you've got a tip?
Yeah, I just put it, if you go to clamorcast.com/reader, I need a better name for this. I have a spot on my show where people go, Clamorcast is spelled CLAMMRCAST.com, clamor on, Dave. And you have to say, hey, this is Dave, you know, this is Dave Jackson from the school, or whatever. This is Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv, blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out you can set up a folder in MediaFire that will accept uploads. And then you get notified when somebody uploads one. So it's kind of like it's a hint of a SpeakPipe. So if your audience without the microphone, if you have an audience that's technical and record stuff like I do, Daniel says you can do this with Dropbox too. I thought you could.
You can.
And so I did that and played with it, and it's actually pretty cool. And if you want to be heard on the Clamorcast, by all means, the script is over there. Go over and record it and upload it, and you'll hear your smiling post on the Clamorcast. But we had somebody, and she was there, and then I went to click the green little check mark. It's interesting because now I have a green check mark and the red X. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they give you some new options in there for the individuals coming in. Yeah. Charlie, sorry you're not feeling well, but hopefully we covered that question for you from a MediaFire standpoint. That's been a gem of a find. I interviewed the guys on my show. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv and in the search bar, just type in MediaFire, you can see the interview that we have with them. A couple guys out of Texas, they got a ton of storage and a ton of bandwidth, and they're just trying to, you know, they're trying to get their costs down on cloud storage and doing a pretty good job. For a while, they were running a deal. It was $25 a year for it, and that deal has ended, and it's up to $50 now. But even $50 a year is a pretty good price for kind of unlimited storage.
Yeah, and
well, not unlimited. A terabyte's hard to fill up. Let's be honest. A terabyte of data is a lot.
The other thing, and I'm going to throw this out there in case anybody else saw it, it came through my email, and I think I saved it. There's a new alternative to SpeakPipe that came out that has more bells and whistles. And so if somebody saw that, it was purple. I remember that. At the social, how often do we do these Q&A shows? Every Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com/live, because we love talking to cool people like Jeff Holbrook. Buddy, how's it going, man?
I'm a cool people now.
You are a cool people.
Enjoying the coolness.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But if you do come up with a thing that has something to do with combobulation, T-shirts, anything, I get it free.
You remember that. And it needs to be hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag combobulation. Yeah, that sounds real good.
I like it.
I didn't have a specific question, but just wanted to pop in and say that. But
hey,
anyway,
Jeff, let me ask you. Jeff, let me ask you this question. You've been using Blab this week. What's the best of what you've seen so far?
Honestly, the last 2 days, I haven't been back in simply because I was engaging with my audience and didn't have time. I haven't found any of my actual audience for my new show on here. It's concentrating on our home state. And I haven't found a single person from my home state in here, from the state of West Virginia. Nobody's in here. And so I was having some direct contact with them. But I keep talking to people from Malaysia. There's a good friend now from Australia. I actually took some of the video after I downloaded it and made a couple of short topical things just from our conversations and put them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, the quick and easy stuff, and the actual download of the video looks a whole lot better than it does when you're actually blabbing. Because how clear yours looks. They all look that clear when you download it instead of the little fuzz that you see on the other people's video.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. Google Hangouts do the same thing now, where what's being broadcast is in low quality, and then but they're getting the high quality and saving it. And so when they render it, they render the high quality video as opposed to the low quality. So it sounds like Blab has maybe picked up on that as well. Well, that's good to hear. I didn't know that. Good.
Yeah. Cool. And I have noticed when a fourth person comes in, that's when my bandwidth starts kind of going haywire, even though I'm directly plugged in. The three people are great. The fourth one, that's when you start Cyloning, as Elsie calls it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, no, thanks for checking in, Jeff. Appreciate you jumping in here. And I will write down combobulations, and you'll get credit for it.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah. All of a sudden, I have invented a term. Isn't that amazing?
Okay. There you go.
I love it.
Thank you.
Awesome, man.
See you, Jeff. Take care.
Yeah, we had a question here from @GingerSnapWorks. I'm about to join an established podcast as a co-host, and one of my jobs will be inviting people to appear on the podcast and helping them promote us. Help them promote. Okay, I get the idea. Finding guests, Google Help a Reporter Out, RadioGuestList.com. There was another one that just came out that I looked at and was kind of like, meh. Also, if you go to Amazon, there is a spot, find your niche and look at new releases, because every author on the planet will be more than happy to talk about you when you're promoting their book. The thing I would kind of throw in here, don't think that your audience is going to grow based on your guest promoting your show.
Yes.
I think a lot of people think, well, I won't have to promote, my guest will. No.
Nope.
No, your guest won't. They
will
might.
In fact, you got to remind them to.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Hey, just thinking about you.
Yeah. It's one of those where you need to give them the text and make it super easy. So all they have to do is copy and paste, courtesy of Glenn the Geek, of course. And,
Can I tell you another Glenn the Geek story? Right. So this week on Home Gadget Geeks, we were talking about Ring, ring.com. They make these devices that you put on your front door, and they replace your doorbell, but they have a video camera in them, and they put that video up to the cloud, all kinds of cool stuff, ring.com. So during the show, I'm like, you know, I'd invite these guys on. So I go to contact, and during the show, I send a note to their PR group. Hey, I'm a podcast. We do this. We're tech driven. I have about this many listeners. Would you send somebody for the show during the show? Next day, I get an email back that says, we'd love to send. In fact, we're going to send so-and-so. He's our founder and chief inventor of the company, right? You don't get it. This was the Glenn. Go back to Glenn the Geek. You don't get it unless you ask for it.
That's
it. And I think you just got to – how do you get guests getting put on a PR list, which was a question out there. How do I get on PR lists? You want to go to them. You don't want them to come to you, right? You want – the best interviews I've ever had is when I've sought out the guest, not the guests seeking out me. And so I think go into your niche and find those sites, find those people that are interesting, and then go after them and just send them an email. Be bold. I was super surprised when I told Mike Howard, who was on the show and we were talking about this, and I told him the next day, I'm like, well, we got the guest from Ring, and that will be a super cool interview and will be right in my niche when we go to talk about it. So just ask.
Nice. Awesome. Well, speaking of Amy from Ginger Snap Works.
Perfect.
Here she comes.
Hello, Amy.
So my question more is about promotion.
Okay.
Then my network's pretty vast, so I'm not really concerned about finding people to be on the podcast. Let me lower my seat.
There we go.
But how do you, and I'm in public relations and social media marketing, and I'm always just looking at the easiest ways to help other people promote things. So you guys recommend like sending out a sponsor packet with pre-written content that they can just copy and paste? Is that pretty standard?
From a media kit standpoint, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. So let's say I have a book author come on that episode. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to really encourage them to say, hey, I was on this podcast?
Yeah. I would take something that was specific. So I try to avoid the, hey, I was on this really cool podcast. Here's the link that I can send to every single guest. Try to make it specific. It doesn't have to be, you know, but something like, I was on this show. Think of it again, something, it's your headline. What did this guy talk about on the show that his audience is going to want to listen to? And then put a link right to either the show notes or the MP3 file, one of the two. And that it was like, here, we would love to have you promote the show. Thank you for being such a great guest. We typed this up. Use it if you like, or make your own. That would be that. But yeah, it's a lot of people. Eventually, Daniel J. Lewis, he said, somewhat persnickety, we'll have Chris Brogan on his show. Chris Brogan is a social media god, and Chris was kind of getting tired of people going, "Hey, you're supposed to be promoting my show," and it's like, no, it's your show. I did a little tweet.
You got to remind him though. We call this social share at Gallup when we do it, and we have a form that we've put together that we send to every guest that's been on our show, and I copy that on my own. That just coaches them through the various ways, and I go from easiest to most difficult in the letter, knowing they're not going to do them all. But I say, hey, thanks for being on my show. I really want to encourage you to share this. Here's the, in my very first one, it's the link back to my website, right? I want them, if they're going to share anything, I want them to share the link back to my website. And then here's you on YouTube. And then here's what we have on Spreaker. And then if I do, because sometimes I pull parts of the interview out, make a home tech tip out of them. Here's you on home, right? Just give, I mean, I give them the code in the letter. So it's copy and paste this into here. Because Dave, I've heard you say this before. You want to make it as easy as possible for them and just walk them through. They don't want to mess with the technical difficulty of it. Just say to them, you know, copy and paste this into here and then thank you for doing it. I think send that one time and then let it go, right? It's not, you can't, if they choose not to do it, it was a bad guest. If they do it, and we've had, I did this a couple weeks ago. I forgot to send the guy a letter when we got done, and I sent it to him, said, I'm terribly sorry that this is so late, but here's you on the post, you know? And he goes, oh, thanks. I totally forgot to share this stuff. I will do it now. Right. So I think you got to make that one contact and a full sheet that makes it easy for him to do, Dave.
And for me, when I see it's something that's not boilerplate, it's not, hey, thank you so much for being a guest on, you know, just, it's so generic to me. It just doesn't feel quite as warm and fuzzy. Not that
I write every single one myself. I don't have a form. Yeah. I just go through and say, hey, Bill, thanks for being on. Here's the link, paste it in. Yeah. And it's here on YouTube and paste it in and here, but I know what I want to share. So I try not to make it a boilerplate like Dave's talking about.
Yeah.
Now, with this whole new Blab thing, how is that interacting with your podcasts?
I love it. I mentioned last week. I mean, we've got 46 people here watching as we speak. We have people, we're getting question after question after question. And so for me, for this show, I love it because much less prep. I used to have multiple topics ready to go so that if nobody called in, what the heck am I going to talk about? I love the fact that we're just, it's a much more engaged audience over here. So to me, that's what I love about it. Jim, what have you been playing with in terms of Blab?
Well, Amy, I want the embed so I can put it on my live page. I still want them to come to theaverageguy.tv/live and not Blab for this. And there's trickery things. Everybody's bought up the Blab URLs at this point. So, you know, you could redirect it to, and I find that more work than it's worth. I'm kind of waiting for the embed code to come from my live page. So for now, I'm choosing not to change the way I do my regular show. We did it last week in Google Plus, and that's just, in this case, I don't want to change horses in midstream. I like it that way. But for this, this was absolutely the right decision for Dave, for us to come over to Blab and really change this format, because we're having way more engagement now than we ever did. About the same number of listeners, to be honest. We have 46 now. Typically, we were in the 35 to 40 when we were over on Google Plus doing it, but a lot more outreach. So we have 147 people right now who've seen it, and there's great opportunities for outreach. Now, those folks come in and go, but you have a chance for them to come in and stay. And so it's just a great opportunity to do that. So I have been thinking about, okay, what are some different ways? I don't want to change the way I'm doing my things now to take advantage of it, but what kind of new things could I do that I could use on this? So I haven't made the cutover yet, but Dave and I have totally made the cutover for Ask the Podcast Coach. I mean, I think we're here to stay.
Yeah.
Right, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they come on and go, okay, it's, you know, $200 a month. I'm like, oh, all right. So,
Amy, the interaction is great. I mean, it has blown out Twitter. All of a sudden now, Twitter's interesting again.
Yeah.
Because of Blab. Right before, it was getting a little long in the tooth. You know, you're kind of like, does it really matter if I have 5,000 Twitter followers? Because it's crickets out there. But all of a sudden now, because this is tied into Twitter, it has re-energized my Twitter stream. And I'm meeting new people that I didn't know before, and I'm following them because I want to know when they go live on Blab, right? Yeah. If I follow them on Blab, it'll notify me when they go live, and I want to know that. So that's how.
So here's an interesting question for you guys, because I've only just, you know, been on Blab for like 2 or 3 days now, and I'm noticing that a ton of the people who are utilizing it right now are marketers.
Yes.
How do you think that's going to shape the future of Blab?
Go ahead, Dave. It's going to turn people off because nobody tunes into an infomercial on purpose unless there's absolutely nothing else on. And so Gary Vaynerchuk said it best. You know, every great platform comes along and then the marketers come along and ruin it. And so I don't think it'll ruin it. I think we all kind of have come to expect, you know, where there is promotion, there's going to be somebody there going, buy my thing and you'll make $1 million. So,
That's not what I'm seeing. And, so I was on Periscope and Meerkat for a little while and found it really unpleasant.
Okay.
Because you'd see, particularly you'd see, let's say, an attractive woman, and there would be awful comments showing up.
Yes, yes.
Because there's still that anonymity.
Yeah.
You can't really be anonymous on film.
Yeah.
So I have yet to see one awful comment in that world, like a troll comment, right? Mm-hmm. When there is a questionable comment, people shut it down really fast.
Yeah, you can kick people out, which is kind of cool. Yeah. So
I think marketers being involved, they want to curate a space of their dreams, right? Where there isn't that trolley aspect of it, where it's not awful to engage, where it's really a community rather than people being awful to each other. So that's kind of where I see marketers playing a really big role inside the Blab community.
That's great insight. That's true. It's kind of hard to be a troll when you're on camera. So
Right. Well,
it can happen in the chat. Here in the chat.
Awesome.
So it's still the same type deal. But I think the marketing aspect of it will eventually wear thin. The marketers will move on to whatever the next thing is. Just like they did in Google Hangouts. And then that ended, and it just became the people who were left were the ones who were creating fairly good content with a good conversation. So, awesome. Amy, thanks for jumping in.
Thanks so much. I wanted to get Mr. Stelzner in here.
I have a couple thoughts on what you guys are talking about. First of all, why this works as a platform for podcasters is because of the discoverability also, because I regularly now look in Blab, and if I find a conversation that I think is intriguing, I jump in. Where in Hangouts, that was not as easy to do. So you're getting people that come on here and are looking for either a topic or a face that they recognize, because Blab, by design, shows the shows that are coming up and shows the shows that are active. And I think that is a big deal. And to your comment, Dave, about the marketers coming here, it's actually the content marketers, a distinction here. It's the content marketers that have been making Blab successful, because there's been a lot of people coming on here like you doing their show on here. You know, and when you do your show on here, you're delivering content first and then maybe a little bit of value add. Right. That has been who I've seen adopting this. And I think it's the key to this platform is the content marketers, because they're the ones that are going to make this thing successful. And a lot of those people happen to be Hangout people and podcasters.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that, because that's the key. They're bringing content. It's the, you know, we kind of have two schools. I mean, we're going to have the Three Guys, One Brain show. That's just going to happen. Then that's fine. You know what? They need a place to hang out too. And, you know, and I hopefully we don't have too many people. Because I think with so many other things to choose from on this platform, it's just like podcasting. There's no spam in podcasting. And if I walk into a Blab and somebody's just hard sell, hard sell, hard sell, and it's not really, you know, no value for me, it's too easy to go, all right, well, let's see what else is on. It's like having channels on. You also had a great comment about you don't ask your guests to promote your show.
No, and I can't remember where I learned this, but I send an email. Well, someone on my team sends an email the day that the show comes out, and it just says something like, hi, name, thanks so much for being on the show. It turned out great. And then the headline and a bit.ly URL, and then just thanks so much for being on the show. And that.
Nope, and bandwidth got a hold of us.
Yes.
Mike, if you can hear us, we lost you for just a sec.
And he's back.
Can you guys hear?
No, try that again. Yeah, we missed that point, though. Say that point over again.
Okay. So what I said is that the email that we send out to people includes their name, thanks for being on the show, and then a Twitter-sized headline and a bit.ly URL, ask for the share, but a lot of them do it anyways. Yeah. And they just copy it and put it right into Twitter.
Yeah, I think most people know there's a reason why you're sending that. Yes, you're saying thank you, and yes, you are. You know, it's not underhanded, but we're all kind of hoping.
Well, they want to know when the show. A lot of them want to know when the show's coming out.
Exactly.
I record my shows 4 to 6 weeks in advance. You know?
Right. Yeah, they might have forgot about it.
And it works, and you're not asking for anything, you know, and you don't, you really necessarily. I've never been a fan of relying on my guests to promote my show, and I actually despise that when I'm on other people's shows that they expect that I'm going to promote it. I think that we as podcasters need to realize that when we bring a guest on our show, it's because we're producing content for our audience, not because we want their audience.
Exactly. This person should be bringing something of value for the person that's going to listen to my show.
To the show.
Yeah.
To your point, to the show. That's really the real value. But I don't want to miss that there is, to your point, you do want to let them know it's out. And you want to make it available to them to, you know, in the case where I send the links to them to make it easier, I let them kind of choose what they want to copy and paste into whatever they want to do. Some are more savvy than others. I never follow up and I don't really even care. I mean, it's one of those kinds of things. It's like, if you want to share it, it's fine. Here it is. If you don't, that's fine too. I've got my own things that I'm doing. And, but I want to make you, you know, you play to the ego a little bit. Some of them will go crazy with it and some of them won't. And, but I think you do, to your point, give them the opportunity to share it at a minimal state, at least for sure.
Now you're doing a show on Saturday as well, right? But is it 10 o'clock Eastern or 10 o'clock? What time is that on? Michael? Yeah.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have my regular podcast, which is a weekly, you know, 45 minute show. And then we're doing a live, show called Morning Social Media Talk on Blab. We've only done it for 2 weeks. It's fun because we pick the big news for the week, like the top four items, and we do 15 minutes per segment. And then because of the connections we have in the industry, like if it's a LinkedIn news, then we'll bring the LinkedIn expert Vivica von Rosen on, or Sue Zimmerman if it's Instagram. So they kind of become like remote correspondents, and we bring them in during the segments, and then we bring the audience in for live Q&A. It's been really well. We did it Thursday, and we did it yesterday morning, actually. We broke Blab. We had 160 people live, and the thing froze.
Nice.
Well, now we know the end of the internet.
Yeah.
Well, they told me they did a software update right in the middle of it, and I said, would you guys please not do that next time?
Yeah. That is true. When you're 24/7, how do you – somebody's going to get, you know. Yeah, it's interesting. Awesome. All right, Michael. Well, thank you so much for hopping in.
All right. Have a good one.
Yep.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, so we've got a
question, Dave.
Oh, we have okay.
from the chat room.
Cool.
How do we plan to make this easier for people to find this Blab when we're live? So, you know, it's still a little sketchy, right?
Yeah, it's because I'm trying to think of it's. I guess I need to put a button on the website. If you just go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live every Saturday, 10:30, I will redirect it to wherever we are.
And you can set a Blab up in advance.
Yes.
And get a link in advance, right? So yep. That you could put that on your site on Friday night so that folks could go out and subscribe. I think you get, if you subscribe to it, I think you get some kind of notification just before it goes live that it's going live. So
nice.
I think that's the advantage to subscribing to it.
Yeah, I know last week, the minute we were done, I scheduled next week's and set up the /live and that whole nine yards. Yeah. So.
Like I said, I'm waiting for their embeddable player
yeah. That
will allow me to, and hopefully it'll embed the video and the chat room, like just like this experience that you're getting right now. I'm hoping it could replace it and I could just redirect it to a live page on my site. So at least I get a wrapper of branding,
yeah. You
know, around what we're trying to do. I think if they did that or when they do that, I may consider moving my tech show that way. We don't take live questions, and I'm not sure in that show I want people live, but you don't have to have them, right? You can lock the seats down and just do this. It could just be you and I, or it could be you and I and a guest. And
the only
you can lock it down.
The only thing I can think of, you can't do it private.
Right.
It's you'll always have a chat room.
It's all you're in or you're not. That's one of the things yeah. That is a little scary about this, is you don't have any behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You
know,
you can shut that off and like, hey, we're just going to talk amongst ourselves.
So coming up is, how are you, Greg?
Hey, I'm new to social media. I'm known as the Big Dreamer. So I wear my hat, TBD.
All right.
I'm in the restaurant business. I retired 10 years ago at 39. I started speaking about a year ago. So I'm trying to learn the social media. I did a couple podcasts just from people hearing me speak. How do I find podcasters to get on? I have a book being written about my life from a ghostwriter in San Diego. So I'm just trying to find out how to get on other people's podcasts. I just went on a guy named Kingsley Grant, and someone else heard me on him. So I'm going to be doing another podcast, I think, next week. I don't even know how to work Twitter. Periscope, I just learned how. My daughter, my beautiful 27-year-old PhD daughter, told me to get on Facebook for my book and my speaking. And that's what I'm trying to learn is, but people tell me podcasting is where I can get my name out. I just don't know how to go about that.
The easiest thing is just to whatever subject, you know, your book is about, Google that subject and put the word podcast. So let's say it was... You know, you say you were in the restaurant business. Let's say your book was about the restaurant business. You could restaurant business podcast, and you'd probably find Ryan K. Parker of foodcraftsman.com. If it was, you know, just kind of start there. And I would listen to the podcast, because that's going to show the host that you did your homework. And you could say, hey, I listened to this episode. I really liked it when you did such and such. And here's why I think my topic fits your audience, because it's all about, they're the gatekeeper of their audience. And if you just say, hey, I want to come and promote my book, they're going to go, okay, what's in your book that my audience would, you know, find valuable?
Yeah. And that's what happened. Kingsley Grant, his podcast is called Midlife Launch.
Mm-hmm.
And he started speaking late, and I started speaking at age 47, 2 years ago. And he heard my book was called The Big Dreamer from someone else, you know, about achieving your dreams, achieving your greatness, because I'm 13 of 15 children. I'm the first ever to make it past the ninth grade, became a millionaire at 25, retired at 39. I have my second oldest brother's one of the longest death row inmates in the country. My baby sister had a baby at 11 years old and 14 years old. I raised him. They're now 16 and 11. So I just teach people how to overcome their obstacles, how they can achieve anything in life. And he heard that, and he booked me. Now another guy's booking me. I'm just trying to get the word out before my book comes out. So And I saw you guys this morning on Blab.
Yeah.
So I thought, let me ask these guys. They seem really professional.
Yeah, we've been. Go ahead, Jim.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Greg, you know, this is you could do the, you know, the blast approach where you just find a bunch of podcasts and start blasting to the hosts like, I want to be on your podcast. I want to. But nothing smells more desperate than that to a podcaster. Like, we don't want. I don't. When people contact me about being on my podcast, I'm kind of like, yeah. What I want is when I pull them out of the community, or that I see something interesting about them and I have to pull them in, right? The best interviews are the ones I have to pull in. So, you know, for you, if you've got all those credentials, right, you've done all those things, you've got an interesting story. If that story, if you've got that in a book, or it's in a white paper or whatever, I'm struggling with that word, but an ebook, get that in front of some people and say, you know, or get into some communities where that credibility can go. Or best thing to do would be start your own podcast.
Yeah,
that tells the story, and then people will start finding you, and the people in that podcasting niche that want to interview you will start asking you. So I think it takes a little bit of work to get it going. It's just not getting on a list and hoping that podcasters, like I said, I don't invite anybody who asks me for the most part. I mean, I have. But I would rather find somebody and pull them in to make that interesting. So starting your own podcasting, getting a media kit out there, getting some things rolling, contributing in some communities. You know, nobody likes the dump and run guy who jumps in a podcast, dumps his story, says, join my thing, and then runs, right? Nobody likes that. Everybody wants engagement. I would say find 3 or 4 communities you can engage in, get known in those communities. And that stuff will start to snowball. If you're a good guest, other people will listen to that podcast and say, oh, that's interesting. If you're a terrible guest, nobody will ever invite you on a podcast again, right, from that standpoint.
Does it help? I'm booked on 2 Sirius XM radio shows when my book comes out. Does that get podcasters, you know?
It could. It's certainly credibility from that standpoint. Depends how well you do on those, shows, right? And then you've got, like everything else, you got to develop relationships in this, right? I mean, podcasting is still very relationship driven. And so you got to build relationships with the hosts. It's just work. It's just hustle. It's just doing the work that needs to be done to get it in. Certainly those shows can be a launch pad for these other, you know, for these other ones, but you're going to need to approach some podcasters very personally at this point, get to know them, contribute to their community. Cause like I said, nobody loves dump and run. You know, gone and gone.
Well, and for me, if what's her name, Danica Patrick, the indie driver, huge following, right? Awesome. Everybody knows her. She's not going to really deliver a whole lot of value for my audience. We're not into racing. You know what I mean? It's like we might be able to learn how to things about media and things like that. But just because they have big numbers doesn't mean it's going to translate well. Because to me, it's all about what is my audience going to walk away going, did you hear so-and-so? You know, we're talking about Glenn the Geek still, and that was weeks ago, because that guy just brought phenomenal content that my audience was like, I never thought of it that way. That's a great strategy. So, but yeah, I think you're on the right path. I think it all starts with relationships, because when somebody walks up to me and goes, hi, I want to get in front of your audience, that's kind of like, you know, trying to close the deal on the first date. You might want to get my name first and you know, just start that relationship and then you know, say, you know, and then in theory, if you deliver value in your conversations with people, they're going to go, you know, you might be a good guest. So
that's exactly.
Awesome. So good luck with that, man. Let us know when Greg. Your book goes out.
Thanks a ton, man. Thanks for checking in.
And
Matt was going to try and jump in here. Matt Sherman. Matt, if you're out there listening, do we have time, Dave, or do we need to wrap it and go into post show?
We got Darren on the line as well, but if Matt wants to come back in, yeah, I keep seeing people jump in and jump out. So there he is, the man, the myth, the legend, the host of Corner Talk.
Hey guys, how are you today? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
You sound great.
Hey, listen, I actually just want to give something that I found, the problem that I'm having, and I have an audio clip I was going to play for you guys to see if you could figure out the problem. Well, I fixed it since then, but I wanted to tell some other people.
Sure.
I use Audacity to edit my audio. And last week's show, I had every once in a while was these ticking, just tick, 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 tick. And it was, I couldn't clean it up. So I thought it was a fluke thing with Google or whatever. So this week I had another show last night and same thing, all the clicking. Well, I checked my digital recorder, which I always record in digital recorder as a backup. Usually Audacity is fine. It was not on the recorder, but once I loaded it in Audacity, it clicked again. And anyway, the whole point is if anybody's out there having this random clicking going on, and it's every time the mic is open, if it's just silence, it doesn't record it. What I found I had to do, you have to totally wipe Audacity off, including all the extension files, and reload the Audacity 2.1.1, and it fixes that clicking. I'm not the only person to have it. That doesn't mean everybody has it. But anyway, there's other people that have been experiencing it, and apparently something to do with, I don't know, something to do with the update, change, something happened to the old files, and it adds this clicking to your audio. If anybody's fighting that, that's how you fix it. Dump it, reload 2.1.
Awesome. There we go. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah. Hi, Darren. Thanks for checking in, man.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go into post-show here in just a second. For anybody who's new to the show is technically an hour long, but it's never an hour long. And so we're gonna quote end the show. He said using quotation marks. But if you're here live, we usually hang out for another half hour, so we'll take some more calls and questions. I see Matt is on the line here, so Matt, hang in there, Matt. Buddy. But we talked about starting a podcast today, see, and Matt was there, and then he's gone. We would love
people, to. Some people have had trouble staying connected.
And now he's back.
Those kinds of things, yeah.
Yeah, hey, if you're thinking of starting a podcast, I know a website. It's schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 and save on your first month there, and every month after that, we've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got everything from how to plan your show, how to build your website, how to get into iTunes. We talked about that today. How to get into New and Noteworthy if you really, really, really want to do that. And you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but would love to have you over there. And, of course, Mr. Jim Cullison, you can find him over at... He's got his pen in his mouth.
TheAverageGuy.tv.
There we go. I should have looked up and saw that.
It's hard to keep up. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, the chat is insane. But we are here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. That's the address you need to remember. And next week we'll be talking about our awesome supporters, because there'll be some news coming out about the awesome supporter program, which you can find at AskThePodcastCoach.com/awesome. Because that's going to change. Ooh, it's a mystery that we will unravel next week that includes the word Google. That's all we can say. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Hang tight.